I am mining investor and editor of Resource Stock Digest, and as of now, a Mexican-American non-deported citizen of the U.S., Gerardo Del Real, here with my partner, Mr. Nick Hodge, who's also an investor and the publisher of Daily Profit Cycle. This is the 337th episode of our weekly therapy session that we call Investing in Bizarro World. We're going to talk markets, gold, silver, copper, China, and some of the crazy stuff going on around with the crazies out there in the world. But first and foremost, Mr. Hodge, how goes you?
Doing fantastic, Gerardo. How are you?
Muy bien, señor. Live from Greenland. Come and get me, motherfuckers. No, I am well, man. It's crazy times out in the world. Good stuff happening. My Cubs fought off the Brewers last night. We took one at home, defended Wrigley Field. We got another game today. It's an elimination game for us. So looking to tie that series 2-2 and put some pressure on them back in Milwaukee. That's been a fun series to watch. The Trumpster, they seem to have negotiated after the decimation of Gaza, a peace deal, which, look, I'll take any peace deals announced by anybody. Get it done however you can get it done. I hope it sticks. I'm absolutely rooting for the people out there that it sticks. So, look, a lot of stuff going on. Gold, silver, copper, we'll get to all that. But that's a long-winded way of saying I am well. And yeah. Thankful and grateful and up and at it, sir. Making the most of it.
Glad to hear it. I heard the Trumpster reversed Indigenous Peoples Day, and it's now back to Columbus Day. Do with that what you will. I don't care what you call it, is what I was tweeting. Just go about your business and be here and present, and don't let them tie you up in knots. I'm on my way to Montana, as you know, for a pheasant hunting trip. I'll be leaving right after this podcast and gone for a week. Shoes continue to drop on the resource side of things with China and the administration, which we can get to. And what else? I guess that's it. Bitcoin hit it high since we spoke. Gold went over 4,000 since we last spoke. So you tell me where you want to start. It's been so busy that, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. And I was thinking that I've just been so busy because there's so much going on with these different resources and metals and companies and placements that there's actually plenty to talk about, and we could probably do it off the top of our heads, which we do anyway, but it's especially true this week.
Yeah, I was going to say we usually do anyway, but normally, folks, we have like this little sheet that we write like 7 or 8 things down on just for some structure for me, mostly probably. Right. And this week it was so busy. I did most of it while I was getting my boxing and jump rope workout. I kind of did it in my head, and in between rounds and in between jump rope sets, I was like, OK, ooh, there's an idea. Right. I tend to get good ideas in the middle of exercise routine. So anyhow, no, look, I think we have to start with precious metals, gold and silver. Gold, another week of record highs, broke above 4,000. We had, and I think this is the new consolidation, right? We had a consolidation, if you want to call it that, for like 3/4 of the day where they pushed it below the 4,000 mark. And the last that I checked, you know, it's moving closer to 4,000 now than 3,950. And, you know, we saw earlier in the week a similar thing. And I bring that up because I want to say, one, what a run by gold. Two, I think it goes higher. Three, I believe the consolidations, folks, from here on out will be $50 to $100 consolidations, but they're going to happen a lot quicker. It's not going to be month-long consolidations. It's going to be days-long consolidations, if that. So I'm really curious to see where gold and silver close tomorrow. But let's start with gold. I'd love to hear your thoughts. We haven't had a chance to chat about it because it's been fast and furious. It's been a bizarro world, man.
What you say is true. I think I was telling you the bottom end of the near-term range for gold last week was in the high 3,700s, something like 3,790 or right up near 3,800. That's gone up by sort of $100 in the past week, and you're looking at like 3,890 for the immediate term, sort of near-term downside for gold. And it went over 4,060 an ounce. Yeah. I mean, and if it gets above that, you could see 4,100 in short order. A couple of things I wanted to say. It's now trading inverse to the dollar in the past couple of days. So historic, you know, correlations, or excuse me, it's trading in line with the dollar over the past couple of days. So historic inverse correlations have broken down. The dollar's ticked up from, you know, wherever it was, 95, 96, up closer to 97, 98, while bond yields have broken down. So the precious metals are now taking their signal from the bond market more than they are from the dollar market. That was one thing. The other thing is the crypto soldiers that I've long mentioned. We've talked a little bit about Tether. I've written about Tether and how much gold they're buying. They've been involved in gold royalty company acquisitions and their strategic investments over the past couple of weeks and months. And I think that community, in addition to the broader retail community, a la the Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan reports that we've seen recently talking about 20 to, or maybe it's Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, 20 to 25% allocation to gold. But these crypto folks, I think, are getting it. And I think one of, you know, gold's problems was that, you know, it was antiquated or a pet rock or it was hard to buy. And that's really changed, not just with the Costco gold bars of the past couple of years that we've seen, but really, I think the crypto trained them. And that's what I was saying all those years ago when I started talking about that. Like, we've had these crypto ETFs in the past year where now, like, even I've got my parents in a Bitcoin ETF, you know what I mean? And so these younger folks, maybe they came up on Coinbase and Kraken and whatever, you know, crypto exchange. But then over the past year, you've had the listing of these ETFs that have been the fastest growing ETFs in Wall Street history. And all of a sudden, all these crypto soldiers are now trained to buy ETFs. Well, guess what? IBIT is not that much different than typing in GLD, right? You can jump back and forth from a Bitcoin ETF to a gold ETF, and you don't have to buy an entire ounce of gold, right? This theme or this notion of fractional ownership, which they thoroughly understand by buying a piece of a Bitcoin or, you know, tokenizing an asset. Now, they understand you don't have to buy a whole ounce. You can buy an ETF, et cetera. So I think we now have tailwinds, and that's just mentioning a couple of things. We haven't mentioned that we're now pricing in over a 90% chance of another rate cut this month, the near 75 or 76% chance of a yet another cut when they meet again in December. And these Fed governors and people that are clamoring for Jerome's job continue to be dovish and say that we need more rate cuts. And at the same time, inflation is going up. Sorry, I'm sort of going on a long answer here.
But this is the answer,
You got CPI going back up to 3%, and that's manifesting in the metals. That's sort of where I wanted to end this answer, is gold's run, silver's run, and we're doing some pruning and planting. You see, gold was probably down by 50, 75 bucks today, doing that little breather, that little couple of day consolidation that you were talking about. But guess what? Palladium's running, copper's over $5, steel's heating up. Go look at a chart of lean hogs and live cattle, which no one does. I was writing about metals and meat in the October foundational profits issue. It's not in oil. That's an important point to get out as well. Oil's consolidating down between $60 and $65 a barrel. It's in the natural gas. It's in the refining. It's in the soft meats, not the soft softs, like the corn and the sugar is still soft. And then the metals. So I guess that's the end of my answer, but gold could likely be 4,100 in short order. Silver could be over 50. And I don't know, talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'm starting to see the selling tweets, people justifying why they're selling, that they should be selling some. All that's good, man. Prune and plant, rinse and repeat, however you want to call it. You don't need to justify it. Now I'm really giving you a long answer. I was reading some old Dines materials the other day. The secret to know when to sell was the title of the report. I read the whole thing and there was no fucking secret. It was like, you can sell in tranches. You can sell when you're happy with your gain.
IRS bill hits.
We can sell when there's a major breakdown. And that's sort of what I'm getting at, right? So I ascribe to the prune and plant. You know how I do things. I like to get a portion of my capital back. And you can go into other things. And that's where I'll really stop talking now. It's ain't no shame if you got, like we have, 14, 15% of your portfolio in GDXJ. There's no shame and no apologies needed in taking that down to 12% of your portfolio and putting it over in a steel ETF or a met coal ETF or a rare earths ETF. That's how you compound, and that's how you have multiple positions in a trend that is working.
Yeah, no, well said. I want to touch on the dollar index because it's moving fast, right? It's closer to 100 now. It's at 99.44 as we speak. That's a big move in a week. And so, you know, for gold and silver to be putting in the highs that they're putting in with the rising dollar index, I think it's easy for us to look at it from a U.S.-centric point of view. It should be noted, and this is an important point because it matters, the Japanese 30-year yield just touched an all-time high, and Japan just elected its first female prime minister, who came in and immediately said, look, we will absolutely be as dovish as we have to be to curtail rising bond yields. And so I think if we're looking at this logically, and we need a narrative, right? Keith McCullough always does a great job of explaining to people that he believes in fractal math, and that's how he comes up with his processes, which, by the way, he's been knocking it out of the park, him and his team. But if you need a narrative and one that makes sense, and if you believe in capital inflows and outflows, you can see money coming into the US dollar this week at a pretty aggressive pace. And money also coming in to the gold and the silvers and the coppers and the platinums and the palladiums. And I don't think all of that is a coincidence if you think that the carry trade with Japan and the U.S., where you borrow cheap and then you go buy U.S. assets and inflate them up. If you think that's dead, then yeah, I could see people wanting to hedge the loss of confidence in gold, in silver, and even a little bit in the dollar. I don't think the dollar rising index is sustainable because of our debt. But on a short to midterm, sure, you could see it rise above 100 real quick.
I mean, yeah, they're going to run it hot, right? So they're going to cut the rates. The economic growth is going to go to 3%. And at the same time, you got to mention the cleanest dirty shirt, because G20 inflation and European inflation is over 4% compared to the 3% we have here. So what did I equate it to? Oh, I went back to the drug analogy in Hodge Family Office this week, saying that, like, yeah, it's going to work for the next two quarters, and then it'll be 2026 before we've got to check in on the patient and see what the next dose of medicine's going to be. But for now, again, economic growth at 3%, NASDAQ, S&P near all-time highs, Bitcoin hit all-time highs in the past week, and on down the line, right? The trend continues of dovishness and higher asset prices.
And while the government shut down, and you know, the two parties keep blaming each other, but like, the bottom line is, the Republicans have the Senate, they have the House, they have the presidency. What are we talking about here, right? But now Donald Trump is talking about he's going to cut, make a bunch of permanent cuts, and it's only going to be to programs that are popular with Democratic states, right? And Ben, look, he's the president. He can do whatever he wants. But a part of why they don't want to bring the government back so quickly is because they have to swear in a senator that could be the tiebreak vote to release the Epstein files. What world are we living in where we need to shut the government down and then cut funding from Democratic cities? And by the way, this is affecting Republican voters as well. It's not just affecting one political party or one tribe, right? And we're doing all of this to avoid a vote on letting us know who the pedophiles are in power. It's a bizarro world out there. And the point I was originally trying to make was, we got $20 billion for Argentina, though. We're cutting them a $20 billion check, stepping into the market and hooking the homie up out there. So it's a crazy fucking world out here, Nick.
While China gives us the finger, it doesn't buy our soybeans and buys Argentina's soybeans. And we've got to also bail out the farmers, which you and I touched on either last week or the week before. For sure, man. Bizarre world.
And my military buddies like put some of their investment plans on hold until they see if they're going to get paid, because they don't know.
It's wild.
What a bizarro world, people. It's a bizarro world.
While it's the Department of War, it's just, sorry, just to keep the theme sort of going, not the bizarro theme, but the Trump administration theme, right? Like, I think we should talk about Trilogy Metals. So we've been discussing, obviously, the ongoing, however you want to frame it, shortage of critical metals in the U.S., the need to diversify supply. China cutting off and continuing to, by the way, another announcement out of China this week that they're, you know, putting the chokehold on not just rare earths, but lithium products as well. So, and then the contemporaneous theme of, you know, socialism, essentially Trump socialism, investing in these resource companies, and then not the socialism part, the cutting of the red tape, yeah, and the fast tracking of a permitting approval. This week it was the Department of War that reminded me, you talking about war and military, the Department of War invested directly in Trilogy Metals, which I know you saw has the big Ambler Road project in Alaska that's been a political football for years and years and years. It is a massive, you know, copper and other base metal deposit. And the Department of War took a direct stake, I think something like $17 million to buy 10% of the company at $2 and some change per share. That was U.S.
And then approved the permit.
Yep, then approved the permit, and the stock went to $7 like the next day, right?
At least they're not hiding it anymore. You're going to give me 10% of your company. I am going to give you a permit, and we're all going to make money. That's the whole game right now, folks. That's the way the whole thing's being played. And look, if you know the game and you know how to play it, you're going to do well. But if you're not fortunate enough to be able to get in the game, if you don't have the assets, you know, to make a bet that counts for you in a material way, it's going to get tougher and tougher, folks. I hate to say it, but the days of just 9 to 5 in it and counting on a pension one day and a golden watch, those days are far gone, far, far gone. If you're young and college or the university isn't your thing, learn a trade, man. You know, do that. But you're going to have to do something. Start a business. Give that a go. Fail a few times. I've done everything from concert promoting to... I was a realtor. I flipped real estate at one point. I still own, you know, several pieces of real estate, and you know, stumbled onto junior resource stocks, fell in love, and have been doing it ever since. You're 16 years later, but whatever it is, you got to knock on a lot of doors, and you're not going to get a good response sometimes from those doors, but you got to try different things, especially in this economy, because it's not going to get any easier for the average folk, and it absolutely is rigged out there, everybody.
Yeah, I mean... we're sort of bouncing all around, but I got a couple of things to say on that. Like, yeah, you got to forge your own way. I mean, that's what I've been all about for the past 10 years, ever since the Outsider Club, 12 years. That was 2013. And you do see people falling behind. We've seen that a lot and discussed that a lot on this podcast in terms of the wealth inequality and the homelessness. There's also a certain contingent or fraction that feels like they're owed something. Which is interesting. You know, I see people that are content, you know, just to have that 9 to 5 or get their degree and go try to get a job and think that's going to be okay. And like you just said, like, that's not it anymore. And then I wanted to relate that to two things, because I like to run my mouth and I do that on this podcast to vent. So one is about like having to do people's jobs. I know you come across this in your daily life, you, Gerardo, and the reader. But just two quick examples, just again, to personally vent, and then just to say, like, do better. And also, sometimes you just got to do things yourself. So quick examples, two of them. We send a lot of things internationally. We ship to Canada, Switzerland, Australia, Singapore, Thailand, wherever they're subscribers, and we send things out. And I've been doing this for many years now, so I've gotten pretty good at printing out the customs label on USPS.com, slapping it on the envelope, and going to the post office. It's a unique way of doing it because I don't prepay the postage. I just do the customs label, and then I got to pay when I get there. And I guess not a lot of people do it that way or know that you can do it that way. So most of the time when I get to the post office, the lovely woman or man behind the counter says, you didn't do this right, or you have to prepay this. And then I have to educate them, like, no, I learned how to do this over time, and this is how you do it. I can even point to the screen now and say, like, you got to click that little button and then scan my little customs thing. And they'll be adamant, like, no, you can't do it this way or whatever. And I just tell them from the outset now, like, I can show you how to do this. It's going to be all right. And I'm going to relate it to something to your personal financial life in a second. The other thing is banks. We obviously know they're horrible. You and I have had our share of experiences, especially the major national ones that you sort of got to use if you have people in different locations, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, et cetera. And they certainly don't know how to send foreign wires. So I've been hearing a lot from customer service, because we send foreign wires for the private placements that we do, that people are having trouble. What's a SWIFT code? What's a transit number? What's an institution number? How do you send in Canadian wires? We had a subscriber the other day that brought the wire instructions into Fidelity. And they basically told him to pound sand, like they couldn't do it. And I'm thinking, but you can't send a foreign wire. And I know this is a ubiquitous problem, because Schwab is always asking me questions, even when I set it up correctly. And I have a buddy who went into his local bank and they had questions as well. So I'm sure you're pretty good at it, Gerardo. And I've gotten darn good at sending international wires, because done it hundreds of times. And I noticed actually that Schwab improved their interface, so it's now easier to enter the institution and the transit code, et cetera. But my point is this, you're not the person at Fidelity, and you're not the USPS worker. You are an individual who's responsible for yourself, your family, and your investments. And so if you got to teach yourself how to learn the custom systems of the US website when the employee won't, fuck it, do it. Yeah. If you need to teach yourself how to send international wires and you don't understand what a SWIFT code is for a day, Google that shit. Figure it the fuck out and pull yourself up. Like, let's go. Anyway, that's my rant. Sorry.
I love it. Clearly, folks, we needed the therapy session this week. A lot of wild stuff going on out there. I want to bring it back to the metals markets, because copper, well, let me say this, because gold and silver have had such a run. I think it's been easy to overlook copper, and man, copper futures are right around the 520 level, 520 something. The spot price is 492, knocking on $5 door. And clearly we're starting to see, you know, almost weekly announcements of production cuts. The latest company to announce a production cut for the upcoming quarter and possibly the next several quarters is Teck, right? And again, not an inconsequential production cut. So we're starting to see more demand with the tech bros and the data centers and the AIs and the real demand, right? That's real demand. And simultaneously, we're starting to see supply that was baked into the equation, into analysts' models, all of a sudden being taken off the board. And again, mining is harder than anyone thinks it is, folks. And because an analyst tells you that there's a guarantee that this much supply is going to be coming in 2026 and in 2027, doesn't guarantee that that supply is going to make it to the market in an efficient way. And we're starting to see more and more of that. I think it's going to spill over into the lithium space. We already know that copper is going to be at a deficit in 2026 at the latest, even if all the supply comes on, and it's not. So take that for what it's worth. Copper is going higher. But I think the same thing is going to happen in the lithium space, in the uranium space. And again, these are commodities that are already being projected to have deficits without production being assumed and not coming online, and without an increase in demand. There's no assumption in that either. And I think on both cases, a lot of analysts are going to have pie on their face, and you're going to see much higher prices. And that can happen rather quickly.
It's been the bull case all along. I'm glad you mentioned uranium, because it's specifically the case in that commodity. And we talked last week about Kazakhstan and Cameco in the same boat, cutting supply forecast, production forecast. Teck's in the middle of a huge acquisition, not a real good look for, you know, Anglo, having, you know, just started to bid for Teck in a bout of deja vu. You remember we did this a year or two ago with Teck trying to be acquired. I think I read they're throwing another $400 million at Quebrada Blanca 2. I mean, that's not an inconsequential amount of capital. And of course, the past few weeks we've been talking about Freeport and the Grasberg disaster, where unfortunately they found the seven individuals on the working floor of the mine deceased the other day. So with no inkling of when that project is going to come back online. So and then you can see clearly big money is getting it. That's the only thing I want to say, because in the past couple of just days, really, look at the volume and look at the price gaps on like the next, I don't know, 10 assets that are in line to be like copper projects. I was chatting with you before we started recording about Aldebaran Resources, which is now back over $3 Canadian and has a candle like this, or Ivanhoe, which we've talked about the past couple of weeks. Money's definitely coming into copper. And that's what I was, did I say it earlier or was I writing it? Sometimes I don't know what I do, but about selling, like pruning and planting. Ain't no shame in taking some gold gains and going back into copper or whatever it is, things like that. There's a lot of bullish metals out there, obviously, and you're seeing the thesis that folks like Gerardo and I have pounded the table on throughout the bear market. You're now really seeing it play out, and I would just add that it's not new. This resource supercycle began after COVID when they started printing the money. The copper chart is specifically, you can clearly see that. If you pull it back to 2020, and it's all the things that all the people like me and Gerardo said, supply or demand is hockey sticking up and to the right. Mining is harder than you think. And the government hasn't been there to permit, et cetera. And now some of those things are happening. Hockey sticking of demand, supply and production woes. And so that enough in traditional investing and economics is enough to make prices rise. But then when you add in the stuff that we were mentioning earlier, the Chinese meddling in the markets, the U.S. administration willing to open their checkbook, then it only compounds, exacerbates and inflames.
Gasoline on the fire, baby. That's what I said in Junior Resource Monthly. Yep.
Damimas, gasolina,
That's an absolute fact. And it should be noted, we didn't just write about it and tell you folks, we've positioned for it, right? Like I'm taking gains on companies that I'm pretty damn sure will double in this cycle and triple in this cycle. And that's great. Like I'm not selling those companies because I think there's anything wrong with them. I'm up 1,000% in one, right? A uranium company that we were buying when people were mocking the buy on Twitter because it was a bear market and uranium was $20 a pound and people couldn't see past the next 12 months. Cool. We'll stock up and load up, right? Another company that's a copper gold company, an explorer that's now become a developer. I think that doubles in this cycle. That's great, but I'm up 450% on that. And so look, my job isn't, like I said last week in my rant last week, my job isn't to find doubles for you all for the next several years. I'm trying to find the companies that, you know, are going to go up tenfold, 15-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold. That got easier in this cycle because of the gasolina, right? Because of the gasoline that's being poured on the fire. Nick and I didn't have this bull market to cook when we put on those positions, folks. That was hardcore due diligence, really getting to know the teams, site visits, figuring out what the models looked like for the next several years on the commodities, and then seeing if we were going to be right. And we were really willing to write checks and bring people alongside with us, betting that we're right on the thesis. And luckily it's paid out. So it paid off. So look, I say all that to say that we also continue to vet deals, and we just were able to vet a deal for Private Placement Intel, our accredited investor service. It's a gold company that's got some 12,000 meters, I believe, in drilling that's partner funded by a producer. And they're sitting at a $2.5 million market cap. That's where you get to write a check at, folks. You get to write a check at a $2.5 million market cap in a company that's got exploration expenditures in the multiples of that. And so, and there's other projects, and the gentleman that leads that team is a very experienced, seasoned person that's got hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of transactions under his belt. I'm willing to bet, Nick's willing to bet, and we're willing to bet our subscribers' capital that's worth more than $2.5 million. And then we're going to find out. And again, thankfully, knock on wood, it's not to brag, but we've done pretty well with the bets lately, especially the last several years. And we're going to keep working hard to bring those to you. But if you're not a member of Private Placement Intel and you're an accredited investor and you're speculating in this resource space in any amount above $5,000, $10,000, please, please give us a look. We'll give you What do you want to get? 60 days free? Is that what we do? Try the service out. If you don't like it, we'll give you your money back.
We actually do 6 months for a private placement in town because you got a 4 month hold and it's only fair. And we try to do fair things that you get to get past the hold time of a deal before you evaluate the service. And I didn't want to make this a sales pitch, but I will say a couple of things. That deal that you're mentioning, I sent my international wire in foreign currency in today because I'm headed out of the office, as I said earlier, filled out my little paperwork and sent it over. The shares, I didn't see where they closed at, but they were, you know, at 7 cents today and the deal's being done at 5 cents. So, you know, when you're dealing with pennies, you're already well in the money. Granted, the deal's not closed and your legend's not removed, et cetera. But,
and there's a 7 cent warrant, good for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Right?
Full warrant. That's right. Yeah. So that, you know, we're not even really opening that up. Sometimes we market when we have deals and we put an order page up, but this deal is so small that, you know, we'll fill it up with just subscribers. We don't need to take new orders. And that's the point here. I happen to notice I mailed out that alert to the private placement Intel folks, and it went out to over 150 people. And we have a 250 cap on that service, and that's not a marketing gimmick. Like, that's big enough for us. That's big enough for the ponds and that we swim in and the fields that we play on. And we're already at the point where we're bumping up against the allocations that we can get in those deals. So the spots are going to fill up. Like, I can guarantee you that in the next year, we'll get to that 250 cap on private placement Intel. And then a couple of things happen. One, the discount we've been offering, we've been charging $2,025 for the year, 2025, when the retail rate is $5,000 a year, $4,999, the retail rate will come into play. Like, folks are going to be renewing and paying $4,999 a year once we hit that cap. So by all means, if you're interested now, check it out, because there will be a wait list and, allocations could potentially start getting cut back. We'll have to start finding bigger deals, but I guess that's it. The last one we did is now passed. That was a gold exploration IPO. The one that Gerardo was just talking about will fill up very soon. And then over the next couple of weeks and potentially months, we're going to be getting involved in a very exciting, I tease this to the private placement Intel folks, a Capital Pool Corp, a CPC that will be doing a qualifying transaction to shed the CPC moniker and start trading as a fully listed issuer. And I clicked over today to look at the market cap of that CPC, and it is not even in the millions. It is in the hundreds of thousands currently. And so I hinted at this last week, like, people have shells, people have deals, people have good assets, not retired ones, not moose pasture, and those are going to start coming out. So we'll be vetting deals and we'll be putting out the good ones. So stay tuned and check out Private Placement Intel if you're accredited and able.
Yeah, that deal that's coming, folks, you know, that's with people in that management team that we know very close, that we've made a lot of money with in the past. So some names, some popular names that you all know that I'll keep to myself for the time being. But again, it's quality deal flow. So there's groups out there that are, I know one of the few things we put on the sheet was private placement woes. I don't know how you can have private placement woes in this market. It can't possibly be the market, because if you can't make something happen in this market, maybe you got to look in the mirror, baby, and say, maybe I just got to work on myself. In the words of Cardi B, maybe I am the drama, right? Like, maybe it's you, y'all. Like, do better. Like Nick was saying earlier about doing people's jobs. Like, this is the time, folks, to make hay, in the words of a CEO that I spoke with earlier this week. He said, we got a market. It's time to make hay. It's absolutely time to make hay, and I'm excited for it.
I used that expression on the phone today, I think it was, with a broker who was telling me in his British accent that it's been absolutely bonkers. I was tweeting this, and then I heard from the corporate secretary that we're doing the deal with, who's, you know, organizing everybody and getting the documents out, that I've made her quite a busy lady, or we've made her quite a busy lady over the past couple of days. And those were the woes I was talking about, was the, you know, learning how to do something new, finding a broker. And to be sure, it's a process. I've said this a million times, and we've got tutorial videos up about it. But yeah, you got to fill out a packet of documents. You got to send a foreign wire. You got to send a broker. And it has been increasingly onerous for U.S. investors. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. And that doesn't mean if you spend an hour or two one day researching a broker, going through the referrals that we have, making a couple of phone calls, that you can't make it happen. And it's certainly worthwhile. I've made this comparison before, and I'll do it again. You know, when Mr. Dines started recommending gold stocks in the 1960s and 70s, sometimes you had to buy them in South Africa and Australia, but it was certainly worth the price of admission to open a brokerage account in South Africa, given the upside or the subsequent upside that those equities had. And the same is true now. Like, jump over those hurdles, figure out how to do the paperwork. We'll coach you along. We'll help you where we can. But by all means, it's worth the effort to figure out how to do it.
Absolutely. You want to talk about Amazon?
Sure, and then we can wrap up early. So I was just looking
to the premium
today.
Portion. Yeah.
I didn't know what we were going to talk about. So Amazon has this thing called subscribe and save, where if you get things repeatedly, whatever you buy repeatedly, I don't know, deodorant or toothpaste or whatever, you can set it to, you know, ship it to you every couple of months or however often you go through that particular item. I do it for the sweetener that I put in my coffee. I use the hazelnut syrup. And here's what I've noticed over the past couple of years.
I use hazelnut syrup too. Oh,
that's nice.
Good job. Every good couple taste, good
of Tirani, that's it. Good Italian syrup. They increase the price after a couple of months is what I've noticed repeatedly now.
Fuckers.
So I subscribe and save. They send it to me for a couple of months. And then the price goes up for my four bottles of Tirani syrup after however many months it's been that it takes me to go through them. Today or last night, I got an email. Price change alert on your subscribe and save. It's going to be $40 when we send it to you this month. And I was like, well, how much does it really cost? Like, let me Google it. If you go on Amazon and just buy it outright, $29.
Unreal, man.
If you do the subscribe and save, $40.
Yeah.
Subscribe and save, it's gone. Anyway, that's why I put that on there. Subscribe and scam. So just user alert or caveat emptor or buyer beware. If you use the Amazon subscribe and save, check out what you're paying for those items, because in this inflationary environment, every penny counts.
There you go, folks. So just look, to wrap up before we get to the premium portion of the podcast, gold's going higher, silver's going higher, copper's going higher, uranium's going higher, palladium's going higher, your grocery bill's going higher, your healthcare premiums are going higher, your home insurance and your car insurance probably also going higher. Hope you're noticing a bit of a trend there. Get creative, folks.
But we need rate cuts. We need rate cuts.
Oh, we need, come on, baby. We need cheaper money so we can go buy some more stuff so we can make some more money.
Let's go.
It's a bizarre world, everybody. I hope everybody has a phenomenal week. Go Cubs, go. Let's get to the premium portion of the podcast. I am Gerardo Del Real from my remote bunker in Greenland. Along with Mr. Nick Hodge, this was the 337th episode of our weekly therapy session we call Investing in Bizarro World. Have a safe week, everybody.
Adios.